God bless you. There's plenty of room up here. If you want to move up a little bit so I don't have to go way back there. But thank you for, and Sister Mildred, if you're watching, you're constantly in my prayers and our prayers. And may the Lord continue his healing process in you. And you have been healed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let me pray once again. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity once again, Father God, to share your word and what you put in my heart, Father God, even though I felt like Jonah when I first was given this assignment. And I have to be faithful and true to you, Father God. So use me, Lord, a sinner that has been saved by grace. Thank you for your mercy and your love. Thank you for forgiving me, that you can use me with what you've given me to share with others. I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts to receive this word today, a word that we heard not too long ago when I shared it last year with a different angle and a different approach. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, God's word is new every day. We could share the same message, the same passage every day and get something new out of it. So I shared this passage last February in 2020, just to let you go back and look at the video. But it has a different title, different verses, but the main passage is the same, amen? And so I just felt that it was fitting for this series of overcoming offense. And so I titled it today, Overcoming Offense Through Forgiveness, because it's easy to remember, but I could put a subtitle, Being Forgiving, and being is spelled B-E-E-I-N-G, and you'll see in a minute why. But being forgiving, but it's overcoming offense through forgiveness, and it's dealing with forgiveness. Amen. So I want to share, before I share the passage, a little story. I saw this video on YouTube that was about 5 minutes long, and I said, instead of showing the video, you could go and watch the video. It's called The Angry Bee. The Angry Bee. So I'm going to give you like the narrative about it, what the main point of the video was all about. So today, you know, last week, Pastor Josh shared about ducks. Today I'm going to share about a bee. So we're learning about the birds and the bees, you know? Okay. I want to throw that in there. Sister Kathy threw a joke out there, so let's get. Anyways, that was my joke. Okay, so here's the story. The video begins by showing a hive of bees, a bunch of bees flying around, having lots of fun together. You know, you ever seen a swarm of bees just flying? Okay, usually we're running away from a swarm. Okay, but these bees were happy. They were flying in formations, going on flower hunts together, and they were even having bee races together. They even had competitions to see who could fly the highest into the sky. Life was just beautiful. This is the kind of jokes my wife gives me all the time. Don't be offended. Okay. If they accidentally flew into each other, bzz, bzz, one would say, "I'm sorry," in bee language, of course. Then the other would say, "That's okay, I forgive you." And they will go back to being bees. One day, one of these bees bumped heads with another bee. The one who caused the accident said, "I'm sorry," but the second bee turned red. Do you have that picture of that bee? The second bee turned red. and said, I'm not going to forgive you. And the angry bee flew off to a leaf and sat there, determined to stay there all day and not participate in the fun that the rest of the bees were having. He was beside himself with anger. You could do a lot of B words here. He was going to stay there alone until the other bee also felt bad. Well, that didn't happen. The apologetic bee, who said, I'm sorry, went about his day having fun with the entire group. They even came back, some of them, and asked the angry bee to join them, but he refused, determined not to give in. Well, after a couple days, he realized all the fun he was missing. The only one getting beaten up was him. His frown turned to a smile. He forgave the other bee and he rejoined the group. Life was beautiful once again. And here's the bee. Be happy. Okay. I'll probably come back to some of these points about this bee throughout the message. But could we stand? I want to read Luke 17, verses, I don't know if I put 1 to 4 or 3 to 4. Okay, 3 or 4. Okay, that's fine. I'll refer back to 1, verse 1. Okay, so it says here, and he said, I'm reading from verse 1. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now, my first point actually goes back to verse 1 of this passage that states the following. I have it in the NIV here, so I'll just read it. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. In the ESV, it says, temptations to sin are sure to come. And in the New King James, it says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Again? And so my first point is, offenses happen. They happen. We can't get around them. Things happen. Offense happens, right? You see, it's part of our regular day life, whether it be intentional or unintentional. As we saw in the bee story, they crashed together. You know, it was an accident. But sometimes somebody goes out of their way, right, to bump into somebody else. That does happen too, right? And because we are human and we're people and we sin, we can't get around sin, right? It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God, right? We all have sinned. And there's other passages in the Bible that make it clear that we are sinful. From Adam and Eve, right? Man fell out of God's grace because of sin. And so I like the passage in the NIV which says, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. Because stumbling, like in this passage, which I'm not, that could be another message, verses 1 and 2 in Luke 17. It is an intentional sin. It could be unintentional too. But it is a sin because it causes somebody else to sin. Okay? And in verse 2, it talks about that if you cause one of these young ones or little ones to fall, you know, put a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the sea, you know, because you're responsible, Okay, sometimes we don't realize it. We do it unintentionally, but it does cause sin. And sometimes it is intentional. But I'm focusing also on the fact that Jesus in the Bible is mentioned as a stumbling block to those who did not believe. I'm not going to go in this passage, but you could see that in 1 Peter chapter 2 that talks about Jesus being the cornerstone, the stone that makes men stumble because people did not want to believe in him. And as soon as you know about Jesus and you're accountable, then by not following, you stand condemned according to the Word of God. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you stand condemned. Amen? And so that's another a point there. So sometimes by bringing forth the truth, it does cause people to stumble. Okay? I just want to point that out. That I'm not looking at it just from the negative side, but there's a positive to it. All right? And we'll talk more about that in a minute. So the main point, again, in this number one is that we can't get around an offense. It happens. Offenses happen. We cannot hide from them or ignore them. If we do that, it will resurface. It will not disappear. It will come back, whether it be in that situation or another situation. Sometimes people leave a church for an offense. They go to another church. Guess what? The same offense happens in that next church. They leave that, they go to the next one, it's the same offense because it's never dealt with. By running away, you don't solve the problem. You have to meet it head on, face on, amen? And so, just like, in the bee story, you can't forget it, you can't make it disappear. It's going to be there. The offense in the story was an accident, but the bee, instead of going and accepting the apology, and he ran away and sat on a leaf and was in misery until he came to his senses. And that happens to us, right? Usually it takes the Holy Spirit to make us come to our senses. Sometimes it takes another individual to make us come to our senses. So you can't stay in that mood of stewing around, being agitated, being upset, being angry, because you're going to sin in that attitude. You're thinking you're going to run away from the problem, but you're going to continue to sin because you have the wrong attitude toward it. Amen? Okay, so that's point number one. Number two will help us to know what actions we need to start taking toward the offense, right? And so number two, and I kind of mentioned it briefly, is don't hide the offense or don't hide from the offense. Amen? And when someone offends us, basically don't remain silent. If you're like me, and I don't know if anybody's like me, we usually get all upset and angry about it. And just react like the bee, right? Run away and stew about, get irritated and get bitter. Listen to what the scripture says in Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Okay, it's not just you that it's causing this bitterness. It's affecting others, those around you, the person who offended you, those that are around you every day, because you haven't dealt with it. You're getting bitter and bitter. And just like a dandelion root that goes deep down into the ground, that's how the root of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of just getting angry, of not dealing with the offense. It just keeps growing and growing. And if it gets deep, it's hard to take out. You know? The enemy loves it. He is happy when that happens. when we're at odds and separate from each other, that's what he wants. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to break up something good. When God is doing his work in the body, that's when he tries to throw in these offenses. Let's break that up. They're having too much fun. So an overcoming an offense has to be dealt with quickly so that the enemy doesn't have his way. And it also helps to nip it in the bud before it gets out of control and starts affecting others. Amen? God's grace intervenes and guides us to do something about the situation. Let me read verse 17, Luke 17, 3. The first part, that verse, I think it's the whole verse. It says, "If your pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." The word rebuke, and I shared this last year, that word rebuke seems strong, right? In the English, it sounds like a harsh word, rebuke. But in the original Greek, it has a softer tone. Listen to, the word is called epitamaio, E-P-I-T-A-M-A-O, epitamaio. It describes a frank and gentle way of politely telling a person that he has done something that you perceive to be wrong. Let me read that again. A frank, that means open, right? And gentle way of politely telling a person that he has done something that you perceive to be wrong, right? It doesn't sound like the word rebuke that we hear about in English. And so you see the words gentle and polite in this definition. And so it only could be God and his grace that helps us to bring the offense out in this way. Because we, you know, our flesh, our human body wants to deal with it hard. You know, they gotta know that they hurt me. I gotta let the world know that I'm hurt. I'm gonna put it all out there. And so, dealing with this, you have to go to the Lord to seek his direction, his grace, his mercy. The Holy Spirit has to come and deal with you. I know from a personal thing that if I'm feeling that way, I need to go and pray and ask the Lord, show me what this person meant, or, you know, show me, not even that, show me how to forgive and how to understand and how to let this go. You know, we're going to share more about letting it go. And the Holy Spirit usually does his thing. He doesn't come yelling and screaming at me and telling me that I'm doing something wrong. He comes in his gentleman way, right, and he speaks to me. It says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. Let me see. Okay, I'm sorry, I just lost the train of thought. We confuse the situation and we poorly react, right? I want to, how many of you thank God for the rebuke? Because the rebuke brings things into the light, into the open. And so we need light shed into that situation. Because the enemy wants to keep everything in darkness. And that's his job. That's his mission, to keep us in darkness and avoid the light, right? So we shouldn't ignore it. Like I said, take it to the Lord and let him fill us with that agape love and a love that looks out for the best interest of the other person. Not our own best interest, but for the other person. And I'll share more about that in a little bit. Remember the story of David in the Old Testament? You could read through 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. But let me give you a highlight. when he fell out of grace with God. He committed adultery with a married woman named Bathsheba. He then had her husband placed in the front lines in a fierce battle, knowing that he would probably get killed and this whole cover-up of his sin would disappear. Guess what? That happened. The husband was killed. And he probably thought, well, now I'll just take her in as my wife and life will go on as normal. But God wasn't happy with that situation. He sends Nathan, the prophet, to go and share a story with David. Now here's that rebuke part that I was talking about. He doesn't come and bam, you sin. No, he tells him a story about this little lamb that was part of a family that the kids loved this lamb and embraced it like their own. And then the owner or the other, the person who was, I forget exactly his role, but he was like an owner of the place. He took the lamb because the company came and instead of taking one of his own sheep or lambs, he takes that one, the one that's cherished and precious, and he takes it and kills it and then gives it as food. When David hears this story, he says, who did that? Give me the name of that person. And Nathan says, you're that person. David was broken. It says in verse 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. Once he realized that he had committed this sin, he had hidden it, right? He had put it away. He thought it would never come back. But it was revealed. The Lord brought it to the open, into the light. He repented. And the Lord restored him, even though there was a consequence, and you can read about it in 2 Samuel, a consequence for that sin, a big consequence. But it allowed David to avoid the wrath of God, because God was going to take care of him. So don't hide an offense. That's my point here. Don't hide it. Revelation opens the door to forgiveness. Revelation opens the door to forgiveness. We need to bring the offense to the Lord and then reach out to the other person and just bring it forth. You know, do your part, what God has convicted you of, and let him do his part with the other person. Which brings me to the third point. Repentance leads to forgiveness. Repentance leads to forgiveness. In Luke 17, verse 3, the same passage, it says, and if he repents, forgive him. Now, when I read this the first time, and maybe when you've read this before, you say, is there a condition here? If he repents, I forgive him? I mean, I'm okay. If he doesn't repent, I'm okay. I could just leave it. No. It's not that easy, because the Word of God makes it clear that we still need to forgive, even if they don't accept it. Listen to what it says in Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Amen. So even if they don't repent, you need to still forgive. Jesus made that very clear in his when he was here, that forgiveness is about our relationship with the Lord. If we don't forgive, then God cannot forgive us. It says, right, he gave his one and only son on the cross to take on all the sins of the world so that we could be forgiven. And he forgave us of all those sins, right? If we cannot do that, then we're not saying that that is true for us. We deserve death on that cross. We deserve eternal separation. We deserve to be condemned. But it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He showed that love, that agape love, by forgiving us and taking on our sins in the world, our sins and the rest of the world. Amen. When he was hanging on that cross, one of the last words that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Father, forgive them, for they not know what they're doing. Many times the Holy Spirit brings revelation to my heart that I have to make things right with someone because of the words that I've said. Does this happen to anybody else? I'm glad I'm not alone. Amen. Many times that someone is someone very close to me. Does that happen to anybody? And men here, like me, many times that someone is your wife, or my wife is sitting right here. But God put us together, for better or for worse, to understand his love toward us. To understand how much he loves us, he put man and woman together as husband and wife to understand that. A passage that is read many times at weddings is 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Now, that could be a whole message for many messages, right? But I'm just going to look at the word resentful here. I don't have the actual Greek word, but the Greek word for resentful means keeping an account of the wrongdoings. Keeping, as a matter of fact, in the NIV version, it says keeping a record of wrongs instead of using the word resentful. It's actually keeping a list. Well, she said this and said this, and you said this on Thursday and again on Friday. And then you start bringing that list in front of your spouse, the laundry list. And I struggled with that. And I remember my wife, knows that, as a matter of fact, this morning, I just wanted to make sure, before I even presented this, I said, "Have I gotten better at this?" And she said, "Yes, because I've been taking it to God. Because by my flesh and by my own way, I can't do it. I love lists. I'm a teacher. I like to keep records." So I have to bring that one to God and let that one go. Burn that list, right? So then the passage goes on and says, and if he repents, forgive him. I want to look at got carried away here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, going to the word forgive. The word forgive comes from the Greek word aphiemi. And it means something like I said earlier, and actually was the title of the message I gave last year when I went through the issues of keeping a list to let it go. And that's what the word aphiemi means. Forgiveness in the Greek means let it go. It means to dismiss, to release, or to set it free. Okay? Usually the one that's locked up is you. And so you have to let God set you free by forgiving. Amen? He wants you to be free. We don't want to live around in bondage, right? We want to be free to worship our God. We want to be free to have fellowship with our one another. We want to be free to be used by Him. But if we're holding on to something, that limits us. That ties us down. It's like carrying, you know, people that in the old days, when they were in jail, they had a chain around their leg and a ball, a big heavy ball. They don't do that anymore. But I guess because the prisons were probably open, so the person couldn't get too far. And so that's what it is when you don't forgive, like carrying this heavy ball with a chain around your leg. God wants you to let it go, right? Don't keep rehashing the issue over again. Don't keep wasting time and energy. Don't keep a record of it. Dismiss it, release it, let it go. Amen? Let it go. And that brings me to my last point. That God fulfills His will through forgiveness. God is able to fulfill His will through forgiveness. Amen? Amen? It's in verse 4, 17:4. It says that even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Do you understand what's happening here in this verse? Do you know what it means to forgive someone for the same thing? Not once, not twice, not 3 times, but 7 times in a day? I think the Lord wants to make a point here. You know, my first reaction is something's not right here. You know, this person that is doing this to me, they ain't right, right? They don't get it. Excuse the expression, but there's something not right there. You know, I don't want to use a negative word. But it says here, if a person repeatedly hurts me and apologizes by asking for forgiveness, then we have to forgive them. We might be tempted to think that this repentance isn't real. But who am I to make that decision? And think about it this way. I'm going to twist it around. How do you think God feels when He's dealing with our sin? How many times do we fail God with the same persistent sin? We sin, get convicted, repent, and go to God and ask for forgiveness. An hour later, or maybe sooner, we do the same thing again. We get convicted, repent, go to God, ask for forgiveness, and move on. And we do it again. And again. Seven times it says here in a day. I think the Lord wants to make it clear that it's not about us, it's about him, the situation. Now, when we do it to God, does God come back and scold us? Does he look at you and say, you're a failure? You're condemned? He forgives us by his mercy and love that he shows us. He forgives us. Even though we fail him, and listen to this, again and again and again and again and again and again and again. When you say it seven times, it kind of starts to hit a nerve, right? Even after three times, it starts to hit a nerve. So he doesn't reject us. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 43:25. He's talking about God. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. It doesn't say here that he forgets our sins, because that's not the attitude we should have, to forget. He chooses to remember our sins no more. And so he's showing us how we should respond as well. Instead of saying, forgive and forget, you ever heard of that expression? Oh yeah, just forget about it. That's okay, you know, don't worry. But you know what? Something happens in the future or in the near future related to the same thing, and it brings that irritation once again because you never dealt with it in the first place. And so God is teaching us here and showing us here that we are to remember this sin no more, that he doesn't remember it no more, so we shouldn't remember it no more. And we have to trust on his grace, his mercy, his faith, his power to do this. And that's why the disciples said in Luke 17 verse 5, just the next verse, increase our faith. Increase our faith so we could forgive this way. Because we're not capable. I'm not capable. You're not capable. Unless we put our full trust in you, our full faith in you, and unless I understand it the way you understand it, God. And that involves having a close relationship with the Lord. And so we need to go to him and say, Lord, I can't do this. This is irking me. This is really a thorn in my flesh. I can't deal with this person anymore. But God says, by my grace, by believing and trusting in me, you can do it. Through my strength, not yours. Imagine what Jesus went through. He understands what it means to be offended. He was despised and rejected by the Pharisees, by the Romans, and even by his own disciples. But most of all, he knows how many times we've rejected and despised him. And he continues to love us. He continues to forgive us. I don't start a day without asking the Lord to forgive me of my sins. Because I know whether it be intentional or unintentional, I've probably committed a sin throughout my day. Not just one, probably more than one. He has released that power within us to forgive. And we can do this because of that grace and mercy, amen, and that love. Now, I want to read to you a testimony before I start wrapping this up. It comes from a representative from Voice of America. You ever heard of Voice of the Martyrs, excuse me. It's a ministry that talks about missionaries that have really put their lives on the line to share. And so there's a representative, his name is Todd Nettleton, and he had this testimony that I want to share with you. He traveled to Ethiopia to interview victims of persecution, and he was taken to this dangerous area by a national evangelist who I don't know the name of, to meet a pastor in that area named Pastor Haji. And when they get to this dangerous area in Ethiopia, Haji comes out real glad to see the evangelist, his friend, and he embraces him, and he's happy to see him, and he gives him this long, warm hug. And he tells Todd Nettleton something surprising. I used to beat him and beat him. Before his conversion to Christ, Pastor Haji led a radical Islamic group that attacked Christians. That was their mission, to attack the Christians. And he had beaten the Christian evangelist several times. In spite of the beatings, the evangelist never lashed out, never showed resentment, or run away from the danger. He displayed such love and concern for his attackers that he eventually led some of them to Christ, including Pastor Haji. And that's how he became a pastor. So don't meet hatred with hatred or insults with insults. Even those who are offensive to us need the love of Jesus. And in this case, I'm talking about those that are intentionally offending us, right? Especially those. Because those are, let's say, those are our enemies, right? But listen to what it says in Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So Jesus takes it even another step, another level. Just when you think, man, I'm getting this Christian life right, he puts someone in your life that intentionally wants to persecute you. That's happened in my life. It's happened in some of our lives. How do we respond? Do we respond with the love of God, knowing what God can do in that situation? Or do we lash out, to resent? So when you find yourself in this situation, send up a prayer to God like the following. Lord, I choose to forgive this person, but I need your help. Take from me any anger or resentment I have towards this person. Enable me with your supernatural power to love this person. And he will do it. He will do it. And you'll see amazing stories, testimonies of people that have been converted. I've heard stories, you know, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking of sharing some YouTube things, but you could find them. There was a CBS Road to America clip that talked about this woman who, this man killed her son, murdered her son. And she was, you know, angry and bitter. But the Lord, she was a Christian, a devout believer, but she trusts, the Lord spoke to her heart and said, go and forgive this man while he's in prison. It was a young man. She went and forgave him. And not only her, but family members came and forgave him as well. And actually, she even had his sentence reduced. She went before the parole board and said, because this man's heart started to change. And he accepted the forgiveness, and not only that, he accepted the Lord, and the Lord started transforming him, that he had his sentence reduced because of her. And not only that, the Lord brought him to the place where she lived, and he moved into the apartment right next to hers, and she accepted him as a son. That's forgiveness. That's not just forgiveness, that's using the tool of forgiveness to promote the gospel, allowing it to touch people's lives around us that need the Lord more than anything else. Amen. So, in conclusion, let me summarize. Just like the bee, offense happens, right? People or bees run into us regularly, right? Whether intentionally or unintentionally. Don't go run off and hide or sulk in your sin. This is what Satan wants to do. Instead, bring it out into the open, right? That's what rebuke was, right? So that it can be dealt with and repent of your actions. Amen? Make a turnaround. And this will allow for God to work in your life and also in the life of others to fulfill His will and His purpose. Amen? So, can you be a happy bee today? And say that your life is beautiful? Let me ask you these questions in all seriousness. Would you rather be in discord and disagreement with the person who upset you? Would you prefer to harbor unforgiveness and develop a hard heart? Would you want to live disconnected from God because of an offense? Of course not, right? I hear it from you right now. You don't want that. So it's time to change your heart towards those that have offended you. And it's far better to let the offense go as many times as it takes to keep your heart pure and free. Do you want to experience true forgiveness? Take time this morning and let it go. Amen. Let's pray. And I'll open up the altar. As a matter of fact, I don't know if the worship team, could you help sing? You know that song you started, The Lover of My Soul? That's a beautiful song, and some of us missed it, but we need to hear that as a closing as well. So as they come up, let me pray. And the altar is open too as I pray, and anybody need personal prayer or dealing with an offense. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for your word and how you speak to our hearts, Father God. Even through an issue, Lord, a top that we need to continue to go to you every day. Just when we think we have it, we got it, we understand it, you bring something into our life or allow something to happen that tests our faith in you. Help us, Lord, to let it go, to forgive, to release your power, your love. Forgive us, Lord, for those times that we have offended you. Help us, Lord, come to your throne every day, asking for that forgiveness, helping us to be free. Forgive us, Lord, for those that we have trespassed against, that we've offended, O Lord. Help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us, Father God, who has done something against us, O Lord. Help us to forgive them and let it go. It's only by your strength that we can do this. So increase in us, Lord. Increase and help us to deepen.